Let us turn our hearts and minds to God in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. In the book of Isaiah, there are four passages that are known as the servant songs. In these passages, God describes a servant who has been chosen to bring justice and peace to our world. In our text for today, Isaiah describes this servant as a light to the nations. And obviously, when we Christians hear these words, we hear them through the lens of understanding that Jesus is the one who God sent. Listen now to the words of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. I will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or lift up his voice or make it heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not grow faint or be crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his teaching. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people upon it, and whose spirit to those who walk in it. I am the Lord. I have called you to righteousness. I have taken you by the hand and kept you. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind, to bring out the prisoners from the dungeon, from the prison those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to idols. See, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let us read responsively Psalm 29. Lift up the glory and strength of our God. Worship the Lord in holy wonder.
Glory be to you, God. We give you praise.
Lift up the glory of God's name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
Praise to you, O God. Our worship belongs to you.
The voice of the Lord is over the sea. The God of glory thunders.
O Lord, we want to hear your voice. Quiet competing voices that clamor for our attention.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth with flame. It shakes the wilderness and causes the oaks to whirl.
O God, your power abounds. Help us to pay attention to your voice and not to drown it out with our own.
The voice of the Lord strips the forest bare, and all in God's temple say glory.
Glory be to you, O God. We worship you and give you praise.
The Lord is king and reigns forever. Give strength to your people, O God.
Bless us with your peace.
I'm sure you'll be relieved to know that gravity still works. try that again. Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the third chapter. And this is, of course, the baptism of Jesus. And in it, I want to draw your attention to something. John turns to Jesus and says, I need this. You're better than me. Even Jesus turns to him and says, this is the proper way. In so, let us learn that it is the proper way to come through the waters of baptism. And this is the way that we can be assigned to the world that we are following Christ. So if you know of anybody who's wrestling with this call, whether to be baptized or not, maybe speak a word to them, encouraging them. And if there's any way I can ever help, please, please let me know. Reading the gospel. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighted upon him. And a voice from the heaven said, this is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Can I have any of the children up front for young disciples, please? We're going to come up here. Come here. Oh, over, over. Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. We'll get this out of the way. It's nice to get all three of you. Come here. Have you ever seen this before? Yeah, okay. Do you know what it's called? Okay. This is what they call a font, and they call it a baptismal font. And that's a special word for saying basically a thing to hold water. And it's normal water. It's the water we take from God's creation every day that we drink and we use to wash our hair and brush our teeth and everything else. But we use it in a special way. Just as we take everyday things from God's creation for communion and everything else, to show special relationships also. Most of us were baptized as children, but some of us were as adults, and either is fine. And when we get baptized, it's a way of showing that we are loved and we are cherished and God wants us to be part of his family. Is it always easy to be part of your family? No. Thank you for being brave in saying that. I won't tell your parents you said that. I know, the microphone kind of gives it away. It's not always easy to be part of Christ's family either. But we know that even when it's not easy, Jesus still forgives us and welcomes us back every time. So whether you have been baptized or you will be baptized, talk to your parents about it. Have them help you remember what happened or what will happen. And know that it is all out of love, ways that we can care for each other and reminding us of God's love. Let's join together for a quick prayer. Holy God, we thank you for baptism that shows us your love for us. Help us to show love for others. Amen. Okay, come here. There you go. Yeah. I once heard it said that in the waters of baptism, it is like we're receiving a divine hug, an affirmation from God saying that you are mine. And I love that image, for while we think it's important to hug a child and an infant, who of us, even as we get older, do not relish in a hug every so often, especially when life gets maybe challenging or frustrating or painful? So it too is with our baptism, that we can be affirmed in that whatever we are dealing with this week. So know that you have received a divine hug. Or if you're wondering, to know that the divine hug is waiting for you whenever you are ready. Turning now to look a little bit more at the Isaiah passage, although it does work with the gospel as well, we hear in both what needs to happen for things to grow and to live. Now, I have, failed at gardening. I do not have a green thumb. I think all my fingers are brown. I have received plants that looked thriving and wonderful, and no matter what I do, they seem to quickly turn into little twigs. And I keep on trying. And sometimes one of the things that I've been told, of all things, is that I water too much. That I actually drown out the plant by giving it too much attention. And that taught me something interesting. That I can't just assume I know what is needed for things to grow. It's easy to say, here's a plant, sunshine, water, thrive. But it's not that easy, is it? If my track record has anything to show for it, no, it's not. But to understand this plant needs this much water and this much sunshine and this much shade, that you can actually overcook a plant by leaving it out in the sunshine too much if it's the wrong species. And these are plants. These are the easy ones. So much harder it is to keep a pet alive. They need a lot of things. And then don't get me even started on children. Sometimes I think it's amazing that any of them make it to 20. What does this have to do, particularly with the Isaiah passage, but also our gospel one? When God describes the servant that we understand as Christ, Christ is doing everything that is needed to allow for new growth. He is not taking the bruised reed, as it said, and breaking it off. Now, think about this. We might not think of reeds too much, but what do we have in Northwest Ohio, Northeast Ohio? Cattails. Everybody knows a cattail, right? If it gets bruised, it's kind of over. You cut it off and you hope for new growth in the future. But Jesus has a different approach. And to not break it, as fragile as it is, and instead give it time to heal. In the same way, it's said that he will let a dimly burning wick continue until it can become stronger rather than quenching it. And then particularly of a challenge is he will not grow faint or be crushed. So thinking about these things, Jesus is doing what is needed figuratively in each of these situations to allow for things to grow and thrive. He knows what they need to get where they need to go. Jesus is focusing on the individual situation and allowing for it to come to fruition. And that sounds wonderful. Certainly that Jesus will look at our lives and allow us a chance to heal, mature, and grow into our spiritual selves. And that God will love us through all of our challenging days, when we might be bruised like the reed, hard days where we might be like the small flame, ready to be quenched, days that we want to give up, where he will not grow faint or be crushed. And through it all, we are cared for and nurtured. And for ourselves, if we just stop there, that's wonderful. That God is there for us in what we need, day in and day out. But I'm going to guess that you know that I'm not going to stop there. I want to instead take and turn this not so much for what God is doing for us, but what we are doing. What we are doing for our church, for our community, and for each other. As mentioned, people are a lot harder to care for than plants. And all ministries and all functions that the church does is full of people. And sometimes it can be just like that plant where we are thinking, we know what it needs. Just give it time and it will be fine. Leave it alone and it will thrive. Where maybe it's in the wrong soil. Maybe it's in the wrong sunshine or the wrong amount of shade. Maybe it's being underwatered or overwatered. The only way we know is to be involved, to engage, and to ask. To allow for new growth requires our participation in some ways. It requires us to go, I want this to thrive. And if it's going to happen, I am going to do what it needs, not what I think is needed. I'm going to do what the organization or organism needs, not what I am used to. It is scary, I will fully admit, how much the world has changed. Definitely from the church and the world of my youth, the church is a very different place. The world is a very different place. Sometimes I wish I could turn the clock hands back to the late 70s and early 80s, and I'm sure some of you would be very happy to turn them back a little bit further yet. Back to simpler times, easier times, times that made more sense. But that's not what we've inherited. We've inherited the church that is now and is today. We are called to find what this church needs to survive in 2026, to put on new leaves and new shoots, to grow and to thrive, to not be broken and not be quenched. Sometimes this means, as in the experience of gardening, not doing what I think is normal, but rather doing what is important for the need today. And somewhere that all begins with saying, maybe the situation's changed. Maybe the needs are different than I remember. Maybe I need to do a new thing for it to thrive. We hear this again, as mentioned in the gospel, where John thinks he has the answer, that the holier person baptizes the less holy person. And as such, that when the Lamb of God comes, Jesus should baptize him, not the other way around. And Jesus says, no, you got it wrong, John. I need to be baptized for this to unfold correctly. John had to be willing to learn a new thing and to be put in an uncomfortable position of learning to serve the Lamb of God himself, even though he would rather have taken a back seat. So when Jesus comes to us in our week and says, I want you to follow me. I welcomed you in the waters of baptism. I welcomed you at the table through communion. I brought you into my presence at your end of days. I want you to follow me. Will we say, Lord, what would you have us do? Or are we going to say it has to be these answers? It has to be this way. Fully acknowledging those answers are safe for us and they are comfortable. But if there's one thing we know about Jesus, is Jesus never stuck with the easy answers. Jesus went to the lepers. Jesus went to the man born blind. He spoke with women who were overshown by the others. He did all these things so that the kingdom could receive all of them. Let us be willing, maybe even ready, to see what Jesus is calling for us to do now, this year, this time. Let us see what we can do to allow for new growth. Amen.